0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a huge international break. Scotland are in Seville, knowing a win, a draw or even the right result elsewhere would see Stevie Clark's side qualify for the Euros tomorrow. Elsewhere, Rangers' managerial search remains ongoing with Philippe Clement and Kevin Muscat seemingly out in front. And on loan, Rangers midfielder Alex Lowry has been speaking about perception and accusations of giving off the wrong impression. Two men who would never give off the wrong impression. One in a hoodie, one in a necktie. It's Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans, and you can decide which is which.
Well, you see, I was hoping that Simon would come in dressed as he is. Hoodie, baseball cap, and I've brought back the necktie to Scottish football and the Super Scoreboard. But you know, as a football nation, we're odd. We demand success, and then when we're 1 point away from getting it, with a 100% record, we develop nervous anxiety. It's only Spain. It's only in Seville. What's the matter with you?
It's all happening, Simon. What's going on?
I'm looking forward to it. I really am. We're so close. It's been a fantastic campaign, and you know it's a tough one. It is a tough one tomorrow night, but I mean, who's to say that this group of boys can't go and get the point that we need? It would be absolutely fantastic to do it off our own backs. I think Norway plays Spain at the weekend, so maybe that might be, we might have to wait till then, but it would be fantastic to go and get that point and get us to Germany tomorrow.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. The floor is yours. You have options if you want to focus on Scotland. It might be a nice time to do it. It is the day before the big game, so all of the usual pre-match questions need to be answered. Are you confident? Can Scotland do the unthinkable and get a double over Spain? Can we scrape the draw? Because that would be enough. Or do you fear the worst? Is Rodri going to have picked up his dummy from the last time? Will they be bothered by what went on at the game at Hampden? Will that maybe give them a kick up the backside? Could Scotland do it by getting the result elsewhere? As we said, Norway are in Cyprus. I don't know if that's, is that going to be enough? Would it roll on to Sunday? And who should play? Because if there's one player, arguably, that really kind of is key to the system, it could well be Kieran Tierney. And he's not there, he's injured. So does that change everything? Or is it just minor tweaks here and there? Let us know. 01419511025. I was going to say we are in Seville. Obviously, we are in Clydebank, which is not too dissimilar. But Gabriel, our reporter, is in Seville. And we will cross live to him a bit later on in the show. We'll bring you everything Steve Clark says from his press conference as well. So not to be missed. On the club front, I don't think there's any surprise. The headlines are still being dominated by Rangers managerial search. Have you made your peace with this, Rangers fans? Is it Philippe Clement or Kevin Muscat? Is that it? Because it certainly seems that way. So I do wonder, who would you pick out of those two? Do you have a preference? If whichever way it is, why? Give us your reasons and get them over to us. When are you expecting the announcement? Are you expecting it before the end of the week? Do you care much about the time frame or anything else you want to add? I keep saying it, if you want to throw in random extra names, I think you still can, but we're probably at the stage where there's not a lot of mileage left, and it really looks like the kind of final pieces are being put in place. So 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now, please, and we'll try and get you on very soon.
If it's not Philippe Clement or Kevin Muscat, then it's someone right out of left field, because they seem to have been narrowed down a long time ago. But the mystery deepens. I spoke to some of my friends in the newspaper world today, and they said that the description they used was there was complete radio silence from Rangers today. So some people will get anxious. Others will say, well, you're supposed to take your time. You're supposed to get the right man. The time frame is not important. So another 24 hours, I don't think it would go any further than another 48 hours. I think the appointment would be made by the weekend.
I think, you know, it's not the ideal time, obviously, but they've got the international break. They've got the little bit of time between the next game, next weekend. It certainly looks as if it's leaning towards these two guys. These two look as if they're the front runners for it. what I will say is it's a massive job that whoever it is gets it to come into. You know, they've got a squad there that going to try and have to get a tune out from now until the transfer window, which is easier said than done. So yeah, it's a big task, but it looks as if it's going to be either Clément or
Kevin Muscat.
Yes,
it is impossible that you don't have a thought on this either way, Rangers fans. There are very few situations as big at a club as picking a new manager. So get your thoughts into us. Who would you prefer out of those two? Maybe you still are holding out hope that it is someone else, and I'm all for it because it gives us a bit of entertainment when we pluck names from thin air. But it certainly looks like it's one of those two. So which one for you and why? Give us a call about the timing and when you hope it happens or doesn't happen, and anything else on that front, get them over to us. Scotland fans, all your pre-match thoughts, please. Can we do it? Can we get the result we need tomorrow? Are you optimistic? Are you fearing the worst? Who should play? Who shouldn't play? All that sort of stuff. And anything else that's out there. Sometimes the international break can be a bit of a blank canvas. And maybe you, I don't know, St Mirren, Motherwell, Kilmarnock, Livingston fans feel like you've been underrepresented at the start of this season. Why not pick up the phone and get it off your chest? I'm always fascinated by this international break, Hugh, because the first one's too early to really, you know, do anything.
Yeah.
But by this one, it's still early in the season, obviously, but you've got an okay sample size by now. And the sort of early season excuses, whichever way, are probably out the window when we return.
Yeah, you know, England gave us a real going over. And the expectation is that we are second favourites against Spain in Seville. But when revenge meets vengeance, who knows what can happen? You know, John Carver, Stevie Clark's assistant, obviously took the huff over what Rodri had to say about Scotland playing rubbish football.
I think we all did.
Yeah, but he thinks that will sustain the players in Seville. The last time I clapped eyes on Spain, they looked really good. But, you know, the 1 point takes us there to the finals. And I would not say it's an impossibility.
I mean, that's the thing. That is a remarkable situation to be in. As Hugh says, you know, for years on this show, the international breaks have come around you and have been a bit of an inconvenience for many people. I'm not saying everyone loves international football all of a sudden, but to be going into match day six and already have the chance to be qualifying it is it's unbelievable to get to this stage. And as you said, we'll find a negative somehow. Yeah. It's almost like it's been too easy so far. There's a lot of drama attached to this. Are people secretly wanting it to go all the way to Norway? Because I certainly don't.
Success doesn't sit easily with us. You know, we like the occasional catastrophe along the way, and none has happened by. 5 games played, 15 points, and off we go to Seville, which, you know, it's as severe a test as you'll find. But you cannot take away from what Stevie Clark has done with this.
It's a big test, isn't it?
It is a big test. But do you know the thing? I'm just sitting listening to Hugh there, and Hugh's goes back longer than myself. But see, when we did qualify for all these tournaments way back, it was always, to me, it always seemed as if, not through the back door. I remember us going down to Wales, the David Cooper penalty. We had to play Australia in a playoff of the World Cup. We failed against, that was actually the qualification campaign against Italy. I think they scored late on. We always seem to just scrape over the line, even though we were very successful in qualifying for these tournaments.
Yeah.
This one has been, I wouldn't say it's a stroll, but 5 out of 5. If you'd ever said to any Scottish fan that we would be sitting here with 5 wins out of 5, nobody would have went with that. Well, nobody.
We just need to get it over the line.
We're not supposed to be consistent.
We're not used to be sitting at this comfortable spot in the group.
As I said, you know, we demand success. We're 1 point away from it, and now we're getting nervous. You know, I'm quite sure that Stevie Clark knows his team already. The players will have been told tonight, and have faith in Steve Clark, because he has been the man since he came into the job. He took us to a European Championship, and he'll do it a second time.
Scotland, Rangers manager, anything else out there? It's the same number, 01419511025. Let's do it with Tommy in Linwood. How's it going, Tommy?
Oh, great, thanks. How are you guys?
Not bad. What are you thinking tomorrow? Scotland going to get the job done?
I am actually really, really confident. I think roughly 3-4-0.
Oh, come on, Tommy.
No, honestly, I do. No. I've been following Scotland all my life. I've not really got a team to Scotland I follow. But I do think, honestly, I think that boy Dykes, what a player. Honestly, I think he'll get a double tomorrow.
He'll need to be some player for us to beat Spain 4-0 in Seville, I must admit. Listen, I was going to say I won't knock Tommy's optimism, but
we have to keep it real. And anyway, if you're going to pick on a goal scorer for Scotland, you might have had the decency to start with McTominay after his double for Manchester United against Brentford, and he is the man for Scotland right now. But I can assure you, Tommy, not now, not in this life or the next, will Scotland win 3 or 4-0 against Spain in Spain.
The last international break, it might be a bit of an eye opener. Spain went to Georgia and scored 7.
I was trying to remember.
They then hosted Cyprus and scored 6.
Yeah. I watched the Georgia game, and Georgia's a place that you can go and struggle, and they tore them apart.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia just hate playing in the rain, clearly, don't they? Because it was like that again, like that fateful night at Hampden. Do you think they underestimated us at Hampden? And therefore, if the answer's yes, presumably they won't do that again? Because they made changes that night, didn't they?
Yeah, I seem to remember they did, yeah. So maybe they did underestimate us. Spain in their own backyard. And, you know, all the success, they're not quite at that level anymore. But I watched that Georgia game and they were impressive. They've got good players. It will be very, very difficult for us. But thankfully, you know, out of the 5 games that we've played already, we've put ourselves in a position we're not relying on that.
When you take on the elite and beat them, even on our own ground, we don't like that. And if they did underestimate us, then that has been smarting with them. Mm-hmm. And they will want to beat Scotland. You know, as I say, it's revenge versus vengeance. We did not like being told that we play rubbish football. They did not like being beaten by Scotland. So there's a bit of a grudge match tomorrow.
Well, the remarkable thing about it is we genuinely are in a conversation about winning the group.
I know.
And so, you know, for them to win the group, the bit that they would need to beat us and beat us convincingly.
Yeah.
That would be the way they would look to take control of that. So there's that obvious incentive as well before we get to the emotional bit or trying to, you know, revenge or whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. They will want to try and win the group, obviously. And it just goes to show how well our guys have done till now. What was the double header with the Spain? Who did we play when we beat Spain? It was a double header. And I remember thinking, we'll take a point off Spain at Hampden, whatever, with the other game, and then we go and win both. So it's, you have to give all the credit to Steve Clarke and his squad, you know.
It was the home Cyprus game, wasn't
it? Yeah. So you were looking at maybe obviously taking that win.
Didn't even concede over the two games.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. But again, the boys have been excellent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, Tommy, who's going to score the 4 goals?
Oh, he fancies Dykes for 2, he said.
I think Dykes for 2, and I agree. I think McTominay will definitely get one as well. And I actually think that Big John Souter, I think he'll start. I think he'll score as well. But I just want to ask a question.
Make it quick.
See, what's the rule with the England players playing in Scotland? Because Tavernier, obviously, can he play at right back? An absolute player. I mean,
we don't do this citizenship type thing in rugby and so on. There's like there's a, is it a gentleman's agreement? Would you call that with the home nations?
Was Tommy talking about
For Scotland? Yeah, I mean, we've had this discussion for a few players over the years. I always remember, was it like Amoruso or something back in the day? People used to mention it, but we don't. Like I say, I think there's an agreement between the home nations, that sort of thing. And by the way, there might have been a time that you would clamber for it, and with no disrespect to James Tavernier, we've got options all over the park at the moment, it seems.
Kyogo Furuhashi has a good ring to it.
Thanks to Tommy, who is almost certainly enjoying his night already, so he doesn't need me to tell him to enjoy it any further. What about David, who's in Barrhead? David, you can't possibly be as confident as Tommy, but are you confident?
I think he started celebrating a wee bit early today. I think we can get the job done. We need a point. And they go on about how, oh, they didn't like the way we played the last time. If they're that good, they should be able to combat that and beat us, but they weren't. So if we can get to half-time and it's still nothing each, and their fans are on the back of them, they're getting a wee bit stressed out, there's no reason why I don't see why we can't either do it again or at least get a draw. We should be rightly proud of that we're top of the group, which includes Spain. We used to be the laughingstock of Scottish football, and now people are having to look at us in a different mindset and say, do you know what? They're actually playing some good football.
Yeah, and that Steve Clarke seems to have instilled that mentality, Hugh, yeah. Because look, the crazy thing is, we are in such a good position. We don't need a result tomorrow. As we've said, there are scenarios, even if this goes to, so if Scotland lose tomorrow and Norway win, we only have to then wait till Sunday and Norway play Spain. So again, you're hoping or imagining that...
Where is that game?
That is in Norway. But again, any dropped points for Norway is enough to be enough to see us qualify. However, Steve Clarke's not wanting that, is he? He's not going to want to sort of wait and...
No, rely on other people. You'd rather do it because of your own efforts, by the sweat of your own brow. One of the great things that Stevie Clarke has also achieved is we've got a squad of such depth now that the player who is currently captain of Bologna in Serie A and wanted by Juventus can't get a game. And I wonder if at some point tomorrow Lewis Ferguson will get on the park, perhaps even from the beginning. But Stevie Clarke, with the mindset that he has, he would take a draw. Imagine being able to say we made it to the finals while you're standing inside Seville Stadium, having denied Spain a win. I think for Stevie Clarke, that would be the ultimate pleasure.
At the same time, Simon, if when qualification is secure, we won't actually care how it came about. Once you look back, I take Hugh's point, when you're here in the moment tomorrow, fine. Yeah, of course you can put that sort of slant on it. But let's be honest, I'm not sure we can be too choosy about how we get there.
I just said to you there about, you know, I'm old enough to remember all these, we're skating in, we're relying on other people to do stuff or results towards the tail end of the campaign. We're sitting after five games, five wins out of five. I would take Norway slipping up on Sunday all day of the
Absolutely.
Week. Having said that, we're greedy. You know, I want to be sitting here tomorrow night
just
supporting Scotland,
Hugh,
with a positive victory or a positive result, rather.
Songs of praise, Antiques Roadshow on Sunday, then finds out that Scotland have qualified, cracks open
and
a bottle of red,
and 100%.
Then turn over to make sure that Angela's made it to the next round of Strictly Come Dancing.
I know, you've lost me.
You
Mrs. Duncan loves
you
that.
But
I've switched off. David, there is a big decision to be made, though, isn't there? Because if there's one player that their absence kind of changes things a lot, it is Kieran Tierney, just because of that role that he does in the back three. What do you think that his absence will do to the team?
I think the team have got a strength and an inner sort of team sort of bravado that they will get, even though they're missing one of the quality players. They'll get there. I think that even though whoever they bring in will do a good job, and the players, the whole 11 on that park, will play as a team. And I think there's no reason why, put it this way, if they get a result, Seville had better get plenty of drink in, because the Scottish fans will drink that city dry.
I think we were a little bit in awe of England when we played them at Hampden and didn't deliver a Stevie Clarke Scotland performance. But this is the serious stuff now. This is the game where there is the certainty that if you draw or win, you're there. You're in the finals. So I think it'll be a different mindset and there'll be no one standing back, especially when Rodri gets the ball.
Yeah, it's a nice schedule, that, isn't it? England, Spain and then France on Tuesday away. So hopefully they get the job done. Thank you to David on the line, 01419511025. If you want to talk Scotland, if you want to talk the next Rangers manager, if you want to talk about something else entirely, it is the same number. Get in touch and let us know what you're thinking tonight, please.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it, Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 0141 951 1025. I can see some calls coming in about the Rangers managerial search, so we'll do them very soon. But let's bring in Billy, who's just along the road in Clydebank first. Hi, Billy.
Hi, how are you doing, Gordon?
I'm good. How are you?
Not so bad.
Good. What's your point tonight?
It's obviously about the modern night between Spain and Scotland. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are going to be maybe up in arms a bit, but I really don't want Scotland to qualify.
You got Spanish family, Billy?
No. I mean, seniors or senioretas. No, but the games that we've won recently have been absolutely boring. And I think if we get to the Euros, we're absolutely going to be battered like we were in the last Euros.
Right, hold on. Whoa. Let's think about this, right? So, Scotland 2, Spain 0 was boring.
Aye, to me, aye.
Come on, Billy. What makes you happy in life, Billy? No, in fact, don't answer that. Boring!
Well, you know, we played five games, 15 points. You know, Billy now vies with Tommy for the daftest call of the season.
We've only had three calls.
I could hear Kenny Dalglish saying it yesterday. I read the quote in the newspapers this morning when he said of the match against Spain at Hampden, the performance isn't important, it's the result that's important.
Yeah, but see, even at that, I still think some of that's been overstated, because we might not have suited Spain, but you're not telling me that wasn't a good performance.
Yeah, we did well. Look, Tommy's came on full of optimism, Billy's went the other way. I mean, where's the passion supporting your country?
Right, even at that, Billy, look, everybody's entitled to their opinion. If you found it boring, you found it boring. But this logic of you think Scotland won't do well at the Euros, so you actively don't want them to qualify, would it not be better just qualifying and then finding out how the Euros goes?
No, because I've seen this happen so many times before. I mean, I'm of a certain age. I've watched Scotland and they've qualified for tournaments and all the rest of it. And we've just been slated every time.
Yeah, but that's the thing. But failing to qualify, failing to qualify is worse than that, obviously, isn't it?
No.
But of course it is, though.
I am also of a certain age. And you know, the last Euros when Stevie Clark took us, wasn't good enough. You know, fantastic excitement at qualifying, but it just wasn't good enough. One goal, 1 point, ta-ta. I've gone through all the... I went to the last World Cup that we made in France in 1998. Heroic failure against Brazil, and then a draw, and then a bit of a going over in the last game. So I understand
but
all that.
But we were there, Hugh.
None of that can be worse than sitting in
country
the house.
Country was there at the finals.
But that's the point that I'm making. I can go back, and Billy can as well, to the win over Czechoslovakia at Hampden in 1973, which took Willie Orman's team to the World Cup in 1974. Now, Billy, the excitement at that time was fantastic, and it has rolled on, and there have been highs and lows, but the ultimate insult to your own country is to say, I hope we don't qualify.
The thing is, I can't make Billy enjoy the Scotland performances. I think he's well entitled to not. That's no problem with that. But in terms of this notion that we're sort of, I've been a bit lucky anyway, won 11 qualifiers in a row.
Yeah.
11. Yeah. I don't think there's a team in world football can fluke their way to 11 qualification wins in a row.
Within that, there's been nice, we've got good footballers. We have got good footballers. Yes, you can maybe say we're not dining at the right top, but we've got European Cup winners. We've got guys playing, Hugh's touched on it, in Serie A all over Europe. I think that's benefiting our squad. You know, these guys are going and gaining priceless experience elsewhere, playing in good setups, and we're getting the benefit of it in our squad.
Taking this tournament in isolation, Group A in isolation, if Stevie Clark was sitting beside us here tonight and heard Billy say, I hope we don't qualify, we're boring, when Stevie Clark has led us to five games, maximum 15 points, you have to come back to the conclusion that, Billy, what do you want?
Norway away was not boring. I mean, it wasn't a good performance, no. But it wasn't boring.
Wasn't our best performance, but when Kenny McLean, I'm jumping about my living room. So
anyway, Billy, we'll agree to disagree. Cheer up, Billy. 01419511025 is the number you need. I was feeling quite good about my Wednesday. It's just a bit drained out of me, I must admit. Andy, what are you thinking?
Hi, Gordon. How are you going?
Good, you?
I'm all right, man. I've got to admit, I bottled it there. I forgot for a wee half a second. I'd phoned right and it came up private number. I grabbed the number and I was about to shout, make me a winner.
Listen, Hugh Keevans is capable of many things, but giving you over 100 grand is not one of them, I'm afraid, Andy.
It's not going to happen. Listen, I'd phoned there. Just, I think the only wee tweak for tomorrow night, I think that Greg Taylor's done enough possibly to take the left backs, the left-sided slot. Robertson tucks in. Any of the three in the left side, I think the wee tweak would be rather than the sort of a
going three, to a back four.
I think rather than the three, sort of a 4-1-1 system we've been playing, I think it'll change to maybe 5-4-1. I think I've said this before in the programme. Although it's important to try and win tomorrow, obviously, or draw. But I think the next step is going to be, if we're going to lose a game by one goal, so that winning the sections within our own gift, because obviously the top seed with getting into the tournament could make that lifetime difference to everybody and getting out of a group within a major tournament for the first time.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting call. Greg Taylor has played some, he played that, he was left back in the 0-0 in Ukraine that saw us top the Nations League.
I covered the game the weekend. I thought Greg Taylor was one of Celtic's best players at the weekend. I don't see Andy Robertson playing
the Tierney role.
No, I think Kieran Tierney obviously more suited to that role. I think Andy's better on that left side, playing that usual familiar role. I don't see it. If there was somebody else
Andy on the line, though, you would be doing that to try and keep the same shape, because otherwise, does Scott McKenna come and play instead of Kieran Tierney?
I don't know. I've written down a back four there, but if he uses the three, I think he would opt for either John Souter or
Scott McKenna.
I think that they would be more suited to role.
If you look at
bringing Andy Robertson,
Porteous and Hendry have played most of the previous games.
Stevie Clark's modus operandi, the Scottish player or the Scottish Premiership player will be overlooked in favour of someone who plays in England.
I don't think automatically. It just so happens that if they're playing at a level or whatever, you know what I mean? Because Jack Hendry stayed in the team, and Jack Hendry plays his club football in Saudi Arabia now.
That's about money. But
That blows apart that theory, though, I think.
Callum McGregor is, by and large, the sole representative of the Premiership. So I also agree with Simon that I thought Taylor was outstanding at the weekend, and the weekend before that against Motherwell, he was Celtic's best player by a distance. But I don't think he'll get a start tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the option looks like. Andy has put a different slant on it.
It's an interesting slant.
If we're going to lose, just lose 1-0, and there's still a chance of winning.
I don't
think
you're ever going to a game and prepare, let's lose 1-0. But it is an interesting point that Andy makes there, that, you know, that is there as well. We've beat them 2-0 at home, so if it's a one goal deficit, you know, we're still ahead of them.
Yeah. Andy, you don't think, you know, Spain will be rattled by what happened and out to prove everyone wrong and come out flying, and it might be a bit much for Scotland tomorrow?
Well, that's okay. First of all, I don't understand what Hugh's saying, because my understanding is Porteous and Gunn both play in the Championship in England, so I don't know his point there. However, the thing you said there, it takes you back to the question, how much do you believe in yourself and your own system? Now, in the past, you'd have said that, oh, we've rattled Spain. If Spain were to keep me hand in and we'd have been backs to the wall and we had 10% possession and nicked a goal, sort of say like Barcelona performance, if you like, then we're going to that game with trepidation. However, that's not how it went. That game went, and we were the better side, I would argue. So therefore, it's us that's in the front foot. So they can moan all they want about no playing. And Rodri, I mean, he had a wee pop. But I think even he sat down and analysed the game afterwards. I think he'd have second thoughts about what his comments were, because Scotland are very good.
Yeah, you're right. Hopefully the same tomorrow. What about Ross and East Kilbride? Ross, take it away.
How you doing? I was just coming on to make a point about Scotland against Spain tomorrow.
Mm-hmm, go for it.
I think we've got 15 out of 15. Scotland are flying high for the first time in, well, a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got nothing to fear. I think we're going into the game confident. Obviously, the England game didn't suit us, but friendly. What does a friendly matter? But I think we're going to the game full of confidence, and I think we'll take something tomorrow.
Simon, as a former professional footballer, when you go into a game knowing that you only need a draw, what does it do? People always say the right thing, and they'll always say, "We're not thinking about that."
I don't think the boys will.
Does it ever get to a stage in the game where it creeps in?
Yeah, the longer if it goes as a draw, the longer you go, people will, in the team will acknowledge, mm-hmm. you know, we're almost over the line here. But I don't think, it's not a free hit, but there's a freedom that they can go and play tomorrow, because they've put themselves in a position in the group where, you know, if you don't get something out of the game, okay, it looks as if we're going to qualify anyway. But there's a, as Andy said there, Ross, we've played well in the first game. We actually performed well in that first game. We've got players there that have been over this course. Yes, there's a little setback with the England game, but I don't think that will affect this bunch of boys. I think this is the real deal in terms of we're back on the qualification campaign. I think, you know, they'll be looking forward to the game. My only worry is going back to that Georgia game. I think Spain, you know, they've got another couple of gears from what we've seen at Hampden.
Ross, did you ever think we would be in this position so early on in a qualification group?
I've been watching Scotland for, I'm 39, I've been watching Scotland for, well, since I can remember. And I remember France 98. I remember, I think it was spoken about earlier on in the show, we had a chance, a qualification against Italy. And it was Luca Toni swung a ball in, and I'm sure there was a handball in the box. And it there was also a foul against
Italy. Well, was that ludicrous? I don't want to talk about that. That's enough to ruin this night and any other.
I'm feeling sick myself thinking about it. But, you know, yeah, I think we've got a great shot, and I'm so confident, and I'm so happy with the way Scotland have been going the recent years, because it's given myself and my dad and my brother and the whole family a chance to get together. And it was waning for a long time, but we all stuck with them, and this is our time.
Oh, I like
this
that.
We're going to go far with this team.
You've got me right up for it, because you're right. That is what it's all about. Hopefully everyone is brought together and we can do the business either.
Can I make one more point as well?
Yep, go on.
You get occasionally when players aren't performing at their clubs or managers are linked with new clubs, you get people phoning up offering taxi fare to take people to certain places. Can I just offer a wee couple of quid towards Billy and see if Billy wants to go down south and support England?
Billy was a hard man to please, wasn't he?
It was indeed.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much to Ross on the line. Let me tell you about this before we go any further. Speaking of taxis, David was waiting on one when he answered the phone just before the five rings, and now he's £106,000 better off. He said he wants to spoil his mum, get her some new clothes, take her away somewhere nice. David sounds like a good man. That makes two winners in a row now after Julie took home £104,000 yesterday. And she spoke to George on Bowie at breakfast this morning.
I'm taking my time to enjoy it, make things great for my own kids. So looking forward to enjoying not having financial strain in my life. Not for once did I think I would get that, and there you go, I got that call.
Oh, Julie, you deserve it, honestly. Tomorrow the money's going up again. We could make you the winner of £108,000 when we make the next call, but you need to be in the draw. So text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. £2 to text, plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com, and online entries are £2 as well. Or call 0330 880 4523 with calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. So here's the important bit. If you get the call from us after 3 p.m. tomorrow, which is Thursday the 12th, all you have to do is answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away, and you could win £108,000. Text YES to 61025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Simon Donnelly are here. We've had lots of calls about Scotland's trip to Seville to play Spain tomorrow in what could be the match that seals Euro qualification. More to come on that, because we're going to be crossing live to Seville to speak to our reporter Gabriel, and he will give you the latest from Steve Clarke's press conference over there as well. But in the meantime, let's take some calls on the Rangers managerial search. Davey is in the south side. What do you make of it up to this point, Davey?
Hiya, how you doing? I would prefer Philip Clement to get the Rangers job. I think he's been really successful in Belgium. Obviously, we've got a few players that have played in Belgium. Dessers, Raskin, for example. Maybe get a team out of them. And I just think Kevin Muscat, I just think a lot of Rangers fans are shouting for him because of the success Ange Postecoglou had. And I think if that was going to be the case, we'd be wanting somebody coming from Japan. And apart from that, when Kevin Muscat was in Belgium, he never really done that particularly great in Belgium. He wasn't that successful. And I just think the boy, the Belgian boy, is a better candidate. And I prefer him to get the Rangers job.
Yeah, Hugh, we've been getting the lowdown. I'm sure you heard it on the show.
Obviously,
Monaco wasn't a rip-roaring success for Philippe Clement. But the spell in Belgium was certainly the bit that he would point out on the CV, I'm sure. What do you make of this race to be the Rangers manager, if you like?
I do believe it's a two-horse race, Muscat and Clement. I do believe that Clement would be the favoured candidate for the majority of the Rangers supporters, because Monaco might not have been an outright success for him, but he was good enough to get the offer from Monaco in the first place. And, you know, he's a winner. He's done very well in Belgium, which is a very good standard. I mean, you know, Roberto Martinez, Belgium were the number one side in the world in international terms. So there must be a fair bit of quality in that country. But I heard that our expert from Belgium on the programme last night saying that it's common knowledge in that country that Philippe Clement has an offer from Saudi Arabia. And I'm wondering if that is partly responsible for the delay.
I must admit, I don't think there is any delay as such. I think genuinely the process is still just ongoing at this point.
Well, if you're interviewing two men,
I think they're probably more than that.
Well, as I say, if it's not Clement or
Muscat,
then it's right out of left field then. And they've done very well to keep it a secret, because there hasn't been a sniff. You know, people have spoken about Derek McInnes, obviously. Scott Parker appears to have been ruled out at the very start.
Lampard was ruled out.
Lampard, you know, Rangers clearly briefed the media that Lampard was no longer part of the equation. So I take it to be Muscat or Clement.
And I think Oliver Glasner was another name in there, and Pascal Janssen, but it seems like he wants to stay in the Netherlands. So I think he was probably right, Simon. It's certainly looking like one of those two.
Yeah.
I like Davey's point, because I couldn't disprove it, that the notion of, well, if Ange Postecoglou did it, maybe Kevin Muscat could do it. I have no idea how much that would form part of someone's thinking, and we'll never know. If Ange Postecoglou hadn't come here, we will never know how people would feel about Kevin Muscat. He'll say that he's done a good enough job in his own right.
Yeah, he's his own man in his own right, and I think he's had reasonable success as well. So I don't think it's as simple as, you know, well, Ange Postecoglou came here, and I mean, you look at the effect that Ange Postecoglou's went on to at Tottenham in his short time there as well. The guy seems to have a bit of a Midas touch when he goes into places. So Kevin Muscat's totally different to that, you know. But it does look as if it's between these two. I don't know much about either of them. I think Davey's made a point there, you know, the Belgian link with some of the boys that have played in that league for Rangers. Does that help them? Possibly. But as I said at the top of the show, it's a major job for whoever comes in. Because I watched the Limassol game the other night, and for want of a better they lacked fight. You know, I thought the young lad McCausland that came on for 20 minutes showed more in that 20 minutes than anybody else.
It's a dangerous assumption to say, oh, he's a Belgian, therefore all the Belgians.
Yeah, but you can see, you know, style of play, possibly. Might suit them better.
The journalist last night seemed to be confident that a Belgian manager could get a tune out of Cyril Dessers, Davey, which would be interesting because most of our callers seem to think that would be a tough ask.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do agree with that because Dessers has been pretty dreadful. Same with Lammers, to be honest with you. We've spent a good bit of money on him. As I said, we'll find out soon enough. Hopefully, we'll maybe find this week, the end of this week, who the manager is.
Is that what you'd expect, end of this week?
Hopefully, because you would like the manager to maybe take the training for Monday, Tuesday onwards, because we've got Hibs on Saturday. So you would kind of hope the new man would be in place pretty soon. Because I do think whoever comes in could maybe get a tune out of the players. And the league's not gone yet. It's only 7 points. And you never know. You could maybe turn it around. But as I say, I think they need to get an appointment in pretty soon. I don't think it can drag on and drag on.
You're a good man, Davey. Let's squeeze one more in before the news. Justin is in the city centre. What are you thinking at this point, Justin?
How are we doing, guys? Thanks for having me back on again.
Pleasure.
I'm concerned on a couple of points, and kind of Hughes kind of touched on it a wee bit, but I don't think any of the candidates that's been put forward, to be honest with you, over the last week or so are setting the heather on fire. I don't think they're particularly enthusing any of the Rangers fans. I think it's, you know, we're limited to what we can go for or who we can go for, which is a concerning part, considering, you know, I think most Rangers fans or most people in Scottish football, we're a big club with a lot of history, and you would think that would be appealing to a certain quality of manager. It doesn't seem to be. Maybe that's a reality check for Rangers. I think Clement is the better option out of the two. Muscat doesn't tick any boxes for me at all, other than the fact he's an ex-Rangers player. Other than that, I think there's, you know, going down a dangerous road, like you obviously said, going down a dangerous road just because, you know, Clement's the Belgian connection with some of the Belgian players. I think you're going down an even more dangerous route on the Muscat Avenue, look, even bringing Postecoglou into the conversation. They're completely different managers. They happen to be the same country. They happen to manage in similar countries. The similarity ends there, that, as far as I'm concerned. So raising that conversation that, oh, he could potentially be another Ange Postecoglou, I don't think there is many managers like Postecoglou. That's coming from a Rangers fan. I think he's a very talented coach. I think he's a very good man manager, and that's obviously proven when he's been down to Tottenham. So
there's another interesting dimension here, Justin. Graeme Souness, you know, he was brought in to help with the process. And if there is to be someone out of left field, you know, Graeme Souness' knowledge of Kevin Muscat must be limited in the extreme. I don't know if he has any prior knowledge of Philippe Clement, but if he was brought in to assist in the process, I'm wondering what he's putting before Rangers.
Yeah, Justin, if you're underwhelmed but at the level of candidate, what sort of level would you have been comfortable with? You know, realistically, what should Rangers be looking at if it's not these two?
I mean, it's a bit hypothetical, to be honest with you, because, as I say, you can only, as the old Scottish saying goes, you can only pee with the
pals you've got. Oh, right, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think we are limited to who's available. We don't obviously have the money. I think a reality check, and maybe, yeah, I'd be keen to understand the guy's opinion, but Lampard seemed to be ruled out quite early. I know that wasn't an ideal choice for a lot of people, but is that maybe down to the conversation of him making that decision because of potential budgets that were on offer?
I was coming at it from the other direction.
I think so.
What had Frank Lampard done that would make him be the automatic favourite for the job? You know, I just comes across well. However, his managerial track record, not great.
Thank you to Justin. It's that time of the night already. Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Did you hear last night's Beat the Pundit?
An old
school pal of Mark Wilson.
I read it on the Twitter post.
Phoned in. So here is your challenge tonight. Anybody out there go to school with Hugh Keevan? I know we're asking a lot. If you want to get
Billy Connolly
or Simon Donnelly, for what it's worth, I just think finding one of Hugh's old schoolmates will be more impressive. Ford? Because he didn't have any. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7. Tackle the headlines
01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the second hour on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are here and waiting for your calls, so don't let them down. That's the last thing we need. Get in touch whether you want to talk Scotland against Spain tomorrow, Rangers managerial search, something else entirely. Pick up that phone. We're going to go live to Seville very soon, hear from Gabriel and bring you everything, or the most important things I should say, that Steve Clarke had to say during his press conference. So let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Unfortunately, no wins this week for the listeners yet. Kenny won on Monday. Mark Wilson won a tiebreaker against his old schoolmate Chris last night. I did say we needed to try and find one of Hugh Keevan's old schoolmates. Aidan in East Kilbride, I'm going to guess that is not you.
I still try my best to beat him as much as I can.
Aidan, are you at home? You're in East Kilbride? Are you on your travels? Where are you?
I'm in Seville just now.
Oh, you're over for the game?
Over for the game, yep.
Nice. I mean, I'm just the surprise tone was more like I didn't think any of the Scotland fans would be fit and able to play Beat the Pundit tonight. You sound all right.
Well, we'll wait and see in a few minutes when the questions start.
When did you get there today?
Today, I got in a few hours ago now, but I left early this morning.
Brilliant. Was it a straightforward route? I know the way football fans sometimes need to take the wee detours to get there.
So we were via Madrid, so it was Madrid and then a connecting flight to Seville, so it could have been worse.
It could have been worse. Right, well, let's do the questions. We'll maybe talk more about the game in a second. If it's heads, you will play Hugh Keevans. If it's tails, Simon Donnelly. And it is heads, Hugh Keevans against Aidan from East Kilbride in Seville. It's all happening. You are Mr. Worldwide, quite truly, Hugh Keevans. Let me give you some greatest hits radio to listen to. Turn it up nice and loud. Aidan, 30 seconds. Just answer as many questions as you can. If you want to pass and get on to the next one, fine by me, okay?
Cool.
Let's go. Your time starts now. Who's the only Celtic player called up to Sweden's national team this week?
Lagerbielke.
Who are Rangers' next Europa League opponents?
Sparta Prague.
How many teams are in Scotland's Euro 24 qualifying group?
Five.
Name any Scottish top flight side who's conceded the most league goals this season?
Ross County.
Who played more games for their national side, Philippe Clement or Kevin Muscat?
Muscat.
Which World Cup winner joined Celtic for one season in 04-05?
Juninho.
Okay, let's bring back Hugh Keevans.
Can
you hear us, Hugh?
Yeah.
Simon Donnelly, I think, is the biggest music fan we've got in the team here. So I think his favourite 30 seconds
moment of the show
of the week is when he doesn't need to listen to me and he can listen to whatever that was.
I should know it.
Oh, that's not up your
I'm
street.
I'm not going to sing it.
It's one of these rock anthem things.
I should know it.
Right, Hugh, you ready?
I am.
Same set of questions and your time starts now. Who's the only Celtic player called up to Sweden's national team this week?
Lagerbielke.
Who are Rangers' next Europa League opponents?
Sparta Prague.
How many teams are in Scotland's Euro qualifying group?
Five.
Name any Scottish top flight side who've conceded the most league goals this season?
St Johnstone.
Who played more games for their national side, Philippe Clement or Kevin Muscat?
Muscat.
Which World Cup winner joined Celtic for one season in 2004-2005?
World Cup winner.
Quick. Three. Nice. Two, one. Okay, what do you think, Aidan?
I'm not sure. I think it's close, though.
I think you sounded very confident, I'll tell you that. This man's... He's got his tough game face on over there in Seville. The only Celtic player called up to the Sweden squad is Gustav Lagerbielke. You both got it. You both knew Sparta Prague or Rangers' next Europa League opponents. You both knew there are five teams in Scotland's Euro qualifying group. Great standard so far. Name any Scottish top flight side who've conceded the most league goals. Hugh, I think St Johnstone was an obvious place to start, but it was wrong. Oh. Livy, Hibs and Ross County have all conceded 12, only 11 for St Johnstone. Aidan got it.
Ooh.
Who got more games for their national side, Clement or Muscat? Both went Muscat, both correct. He got 28 more. And which World Cup winner joined Celtic for one season in 2004-2005?
Wee guy.
Janinho.
Oh.
And Aiden got it. Has Aiden won, he got everyone right.
Brilliant.
And you know what that means, Aiden? Means you need to try for the 10. We're not keeping you from your paella, are we? In what year did John McGinn join Aston Villa?
Oh, 2018.
Oh, it is right, you know. Who are the current holders of the Scottish Challenge Cup?
Hamilton.
By the way, who is this guy? We've got one of the eggheads on the phone. There's only two left. Name any Scottish team who've been promoted into League Two via the Pyramid Playoffs.
Cove Rangers.
Wow, this guy. One more, and this is it, the 10. I don't know if our listeners ever got the 10. True or false, the Scottish Cup is the oldest football competition in the world?
True.
Oh, it's false. The FA Cup's 3 years older, according to the producer. I actually thought the Scottish Cup was the
so
oldest.
So did I,
channel.
Yeah.
The trophy's older, I think. But the actual tournament is, I don't know. I'm giving you it anyway, and I thought that was magnificent. So good. You can go and tell everybody in Seville that you just embarrassed Hugh Keevans. Well done to you.
Well done, Aiden.
Well done, Aiden. Weekend even better. I'll take it.
Good man. Thank you, Aiden. Enjoy your trip.
Thanks very much.
That's my first long distance defeat.
We're not sending the ball to Seville, by the way. We'll wait till he's in East Kilbride. You can take it up the road.
You could
easily go that way for sure. How good was he?
Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. I still think that answer's wrong. I think the Scottish Cup is the oldest.
Oh, producer Chris is very much not having that in my ear at the moment. The trophy's definitely the oldest, but he says it's.
But we had a quiz in the office earlier on today about famous Scottish international players, and at one point Chris put up Dean Windass.
So we can't trust him, is what you're saying. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, it's not enough to save you from Meet the Pundit, and we've got a victory on the board. For the listeners, which is good. That's what we needed. I think we needed one of them. So it's 01419511025 if you want to play tomorrow or any other night for that matter. And in the meantime, same number if you want to get your calls into us, whether it's Scotland, Rangers, something else entirely, please do give us a call. Lots happening, lots and lots. We're just about to speak to Gabriel, who is also in Seville, although judging by Aiden's football knowledge, we'd be as well just...
Yeah,
God, he could take over, really, couldn't he? He could go and interview Steve Clark. No danger, I'm sure of it. Let's hear a bit from... In fact, I'll tell you what, I was going to play a clip from Alex Lowry, which is interesting, but I'll do that later, because I think that changes focus away from Scotland ever so slightly. Seems like a big travelling number, Hugh. I'm not sure the exact number of tickets. I'll double-check. But Aidan, the travelling Tartan Army, hoping that they're witnessing something famous tomorrow.
Well, you know, first of all, they've got an excellent destination. It's a lovely city, Seville. They've got a very, very good host team. Spain are phenomenal. Simon's been talking about the game against Georgia where they scored 7. I thought that night they were absolutely awesome. And it could have been 10.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's got everything about it tomorrow. The prospect of a draw that takes us to the Euro finals. There's the prospect of an outstanding football match. There is the prospect of, unbelievably, Scotland winning 6 competitive matches in a row.
Have we ever won a qualifying group before?
Now, there's a question. But I'll tell you, I could certainly not recall any group from any decade in either of the great competitions, the World Cup or the Euro finals, where Scotland won 6 matches in a row.
6 out of 6, yeah.
So it's all there tomorrow.
It is indeed. And if you want to share your thoughts, it's 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. So please do. I can see lots of you getting in touch. I had a feeling about this. So what's this? Daryl has now... People are sending me the history of the Scottish Cup. 1873, apparently.
Yep.
So there we go. What's the headline here, though? If we got it right, that's what we need to know, really. There's a call coming from David there who wants to point out that he got a 10 on Beat the Pundit against you previously.
Was it?
Do you remember this?
No, I don't.
Nah, well, you would say that, though, wouldn't you?
10?
Just tried to forget that it never happened. that it ever happened, I should say. Yeah,
I get a 10.
You did actually. Yeah. That wasn't so long ago.
No.
Was it?
I've still kept the piece of paper that you gave me with the questions on.
Have you actually?
Yeah.
Brilliant. What am I? Let's bring in Josh, who is on the line. How's it going, Josh?
How you doing, gentlemen? You all right?
I'm good. Not bad, Josh. Are you? I know you're a passionate Scotland fan as well. Are you there? Are you watching from home? Where are you?
I'm currently looking out the window of a car in the Spanish countryside. Gordon, we've had a bit of a nightmare today.
Tell us, we're here for you.
Well, some idiot forgot that they're an hour ahead in Spain, and we mistimed our train, so we ended up missing our train. But it's not been said in the Scottish media, but tomorrow's a Spanish national holiday, so we couldn't get another train from Madrid to Seville today. They were all sold out, so we're now going down the equivalent of the Spanish M77, driving about 300 miles to Seville in a 7-seater car.
It is, Jet. Yeah, I've looked it up. The National Day of Spain is held annually on October the 12th, did you know? And it's kept Josh away from the train.
So how many are travelling, Josh?
Well, there's seven of us in one car, and there's four of us in another motor. Right. They're a couple of 100 kilometres ahead of us.
So you had to go and hire the car, like an emergency?
Yeah, it was like an emergency hire, and it's costing us a wee bit more dough, but some idiot.
Who's the idiot? Name and shame.
Well, it's him.
Is it you?
It's me. Yeah, it's me. So we forgot that it was an hour ahead in Spain, so we're now currently driving down to Seville. But it's great because...
I still don't understand it, though, because when you get there, though... I mean, is your phone? I mean, Hugh Keevans' phone won't do it. But you're not just in local time. What do you mean? How have you managed that? Or did you not get there in enough time?
We had to book the train in advance, so we booked
it. You booked the wrong time.
We booked an hour and a half in advance after our flight.
Not enough.
And then when we got there, we found out it was only half an hour. So this has resulted in us now being late to get down to Seville. But we're in great spirits. We know we've had a bit of luck now with this 7-seater. Things are going great. We've all got the back five, the five in the back, I've got a carry out.
That's
what we're loving.
Who's the driver?
Is it one driver? Or she deserves a mention, surely.
Listen, absolutely. Alan Corson, an absolutely top man. He's taking on the driving. He's driving, well, the best part of 300 miles. So fair play to him, by the way. He's doing absolutely fantastic. He struggled a wee bit at first with the right-hand side of the road, but he's doing okay now.
Oh, my. I don't know if I can have this on my conscience. I mean, I'm glad that it's not Josh that's driving, to be fair. Just stick to the right side. That's
so what
critical.
Time do you get into Seville then? British time or Spanish time?
Well, we reckon Spanish time, Hugh. We reckon we're going to get in about 10:30, 11 o'clock. But we've got a big villa booked. It's got a pool, and we've got a car out. So we're just going to, once we get there, we're going to get the cards out and get the bevy on and get the tunes and that. So it'll be brilliant.
Are you that guy that appeared at the Rugby World Cup last week, by any chance? Did you see him?
Yes, Gordon, I did see him, and I can tell you absolutely no way am I that guy.
Exactly. Football's version, much better. Josh, is it going to be worth it? That's the ultimate question. Is it going to be worth it?
Well, that's the question, Gordon. I mean, we've all been saying to ourselves we better get a result than we're in after this carry-on. But there is a bit of a kind of belief. I mean, we've already done this mob once at Hampden. So, I mean, I don't see why we can't go to the stadium tomorrow and you know, at least get a point maybe by frustrating them. You know, doing what we did at Hampden and just kind of suffocating the game, making some of them kind of more flamboyant players a wee bit frustrated and maybe take home a point and qualify. It's, I mean, you know, we have the potential here for a you know, memorable Scotland night, so can't wait for them on a...
If Rodri knew that we referred to Spain as this mob...
I just like the fact that Josh has got U2 as his soundtrack travelling through the Spanish countryside. Josh, does it matter when or how it's done? You know, that there is a possibility. I don't know if you give Cyprus much chance tomorrow against Norway. There's then certainly a what you'd hope is a bigger chance that Spain beat Norway on Sunday. Does it matter when all's told?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be good to qualify with the team. you know, in terms of at a game that we're at, or, you know, that would be special. But I mean, as long as we qualify, and I think the job is pretty much done. But, you know, Scotland, ever the cynic, you know, until, you know, bare in black and white, you know, we are going to Germany next year. You know, just there's a wee part of my conscience that just has that kind of doubt. But
Josh, you haven't booked any tickets in Germany, have you? Are you aware of the time difference there?
No, actually, Hugh, my mum and dad are retiring this year, and they've bought a camper van. Now, they don't know this yet, but me and three of the boys are taking their camper van to Germany next year. So,
I must admit, I like the sound of that trip, though. The villa all sorted. Look, the 300-mile drive is not ideal, but...
I'm jealous I'm not there. When I went to Seville in 2003, it was a bit of a planes, trains and automobiles, so I can relate to Josh. It wasn't my fault, right?
You're quite big on the old driving holidies through Europe, aren't you?
I missed a flight there, and we had to drive from Barcelona to Seville.
Did you see Willie Faulkner there?
I didn't.
No, I met Willie after the game.
Joe Miller. But yeah, I can relate to that. So it's planes, trains and automobiles. There's 11 of them. I like the sound of the villa, the pool.
It's all there.
A few beers.
You certainly couldn't drive in Spain. Let's not even imagine.
Couldn't drive you down here.
Josh, enjoy. Hopefully we'll catch up with you soon. Pass on our regards to the rest of your crew and the driver.
Thanks, Gordon. Hey, everybody. Say hello to Clyde One.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Josh. We will go live to Seville, back live to Seville again, but this time to hear from Steve Clark and speak to Gabriel next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're about to go back live to Seville, so keep your calls coming. If you do want to revisit thoughts on the Rangers managerial search or anything else, you can still get in touch. We're here for another half an hour or so. But before we go any further, let me give you this question.
Full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Tackle your customers' spaces with made-to-measure wardrobes.
Good one, this from the Crazy Pony. He wants you to name 9 former Rangers players who've played in 3 out of the so-called 5 big leagues. Right, so we're looking for 9 former Rangers players who've played in 3 of the so-called 5 big leagues. So England, Spain, France, Germany, Italy.
Gascoigne.
Okay, England, Spain, France, Germany, Italy. Yeah, Gazzo. That would be your 5. No. Because he would just be England and Italy, presumably.
Right.
3.
God only. Haley. Yes. AC Milan, Monaco, and QPR or Leeds. So Italy, France, and England.
It's a toughie.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, a few of them are big old names because of having...
Trevor Stephen?
No. Maybe the right sort of era for one of them.
Brian Laudrup?
Yes. Bayern Munich, Fiorentina, AC Milan, Chelsea. So he has a fair old CV. Any more that spring to mind, dare I ask? There is one fairly recent one. From the last couple of seasons.
Not Defoe.
No. I mean, Rangers fans probably don't hold his period at the club in great esteem, but he was here nevertheless. It could have been so different. It could have ended very differently for him.
The fluent Frenchman?
No.
Joey Barton?
No.
Ramsey.
Aaron Ramsey. Arsenal, Juventus and Nice. Okay, we'll try and get the other 6, although those 3 are the easiest, so I don't hold out much hope. But never mind. 01419511025. Let's go live to Gabriel, who's been with the Scotland camp. How's it going, Gabriel?
Thanks, Gordon. All good here and good evening from Estadio de la Cartuja. You might be able to hear them testing out the PA system behind me. They're cutting the grass ahead of tomorrow as well, where Scotland will play with a very simple mission. 1 point against Spain will take them to Euro 2024. It does sound simple, but Steve Clark knows how tough it will be. Of course, beat the Spanish back in March, a 2-0 victory at Hampden Park. But since then, Spain have improved. They've won all of their qualifiers after that match. What an opportunity just to avoid defeat and Scotland are guaranteed to be playing in Germany next summer. As you said, I've just spoken to manager Steve Clarke in the press room inside the stadium here. He believes they can seal it in 24 hours' time.
I think it's a mentality you always want. You want to be able to go away to difficult places and get positive results. We've managed to do that reasonably consistently over the last few years. But we understand that it's going to be a difficult game tomorrow. But we don't come here thinking that we have to sit in and defend all night. We have to be as effective with the ball as we were at Hampden. Belief will be part of it. Obviously, we have to get the tactics right. The players have to put into practice on the pitch what we've spoken about on the training ground. They have to play to their maximum. And belief is a little bit of that as well. But we have to play our game. We have to play our game as well as we can. And then I believe that will be good enough to get us something from the game.
Rodri will be delighted that they're cutting the grass. I'm happy for him, so there will be no complaints on that front. Gabriel, personnel-wise, we knew Kieran Tierney was out. It's a massive blow. Kevin Nisbet withdrew from the squad today, or it was announced today. I don't think he would have been particularly close to the starting 11, but there's a squad update nevertheless. What else was Steve Clarke discussing during that press conference?
Yeah, we're just on team news, Gordon. It is just Kevin Nisbet and Ryan Jack who have pulled out of the squad since it was named last week. Of course, as you say, Kieran Tierney, a huge miss. He's been one of the most pivotal players of the last 3 or 4 years for Steve Clarke. Other than that, he still has the 23 players to choose from. And despite Tierney's absence, we do expect him to stick with a five at the back system. Just spoke to John McGinn as well. He will, of course, start. He'll be key, as he always is. He says that all of the players are really excited. There's huge anticipation. And he says that a victory tomorrow would eclipse any other result he's ever had with the national team.
You can back up the road. You hear about the positive impact you're having on the whole country. Everyone's behind the team again. We're kind of, like you said, reinvigorated. They're celebrating a few more results than what we have done in the past. And I think that feel-good factor is something we can't take for granted, I think. Like you said, when we've been involved in disappointing results and campaigns in the past, it certainly stings. So it's good for players like myself who have been involved in that to enjoy the good times and try and carry them on. We're aware of what it would mean. It's not actually really been mentioned. There's been a real kind of steely focus from the boys. We're focused on the job. We know there's still work to do to try and get qualifications secured. So we've not spoken about it too much. I mean, you obviously think about it, of course you do, but when you've got Spain in their own patch, you have to respect it. We need to be focused on a game plan, and that's all we've been focusing on the last few days.
How important will he be, to state the obvious, Hugh? 58 yeah. caps now, very experienced in 17 goals, the top scorer in the squad, so often a talismanic figure before Scott McTominay had other ideas about taking that mantle.
Absolutely essential to the team. The cornerstone of everything we do. I'm not saying that because he's from Clydebank, although, as he said himself, when he, confronted by one of these situations, he becomes a wee guy from Clydebank, and that's what he'll be in Seville tomorrow. But he, outstanding player, and has flourished under Steve Clarke. Essential.
Yeah, he got a late winner for Aston Villa in Europe last week. Yeah. And I think the thing that's so great about the Scotland squad, Simon, is it doesn't tend to matter whether they arrive in a good place from their club form. Scott McTominay has 6 goals yeah. in his 5 qualifiers, and they came off the back of no
Not
game
playing.
Time for Man United. Yeah. However, he did come into the team at the weekend. He did get a double. He won the game in dramatic fashion. So you'd like to think that can't be a bad thing.
No, it can only help. It can only help his confidence. But as you quite rightly say, his form for Scotland has been superb. He's almost taken that talismanic label off McGinn. For me, not quite, but they're both very important players. So absolutely, you know, the 2 goals at the weekend certainly helped his club side, who were struggling at the time, but that would, you know, stand him in good stead going into this game. I think it's credit to Steve Clarke and the environment that he's created there, that all these guys want to come, they want to be part of it. I think one of the callers touched on this, you know, if somebody misses out, whoever it is that comes in seems to do a job. Kenny McLean epitomises that yeah. with the goal at Norway. You know, whoever seems to come off the bench or come in for somebody who's injured, yes, Tierney's a huge blow for us because he's a major player, but I have no doubt, you know, whoever comes in and plays in that role will not let the side down. And again, I think that is testament to Steve Clarke and the environment, the group there. They talk about it being like a club side, and John McGinn himself there saying about, you know, the buzz that it's creating throughout the nation, you know, when the boys do well. So thoroughly looking forward to it. And if we are to get a positive result tomorrow night, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's McTominay and McGinn that get the goal.
Now, we don't mean to brag, but it's fairly obvious the esteem with which this show is held amongst football fans. Tonight's Beat the Pundit contestant was phoning from Seville. Then the next guy was driving through the countryside, having missed his train, going to Seville. We are clearly a key part of the build-up from so far away. What's the mood been like amongst the travelling fans that you've spoken to, Gabriel?
I've got to say, Gordon, I've never seen everyone so confident. We've got nearly 4,000 tickets in the away end. They're all sold, but I'm sure there are many more than that over here. And everyone I spoke to today was in very confident mood.
The place is absolutely brilliant. People are lovely. The weather's lovely. All we need is a correct result.
Quite sure it's going to be 1-1.
We were in the wilderness for a little while, but we're coming back, and I think this squad could actually be quite useful.
Getting there is almost better than being at the party. You deserve to be at the party.
Quite confident. A 1-1 draw suit me fine.
Oh, this will be the biggest party you've ever seen in your life.
Go Scotland!
The mind boggles.
Well, look, he's not linked. It's not. There's nothing wrong with having that bit of blind faith or confidence in your team. Recently, though, we were pretty confident of getting a result against England and it didn't quite go to plan. No, so let's hope it lives up to it this time.
Yeah, I mean, let's be brutally honest. You know, we made the Euros, Euro finals the last time, and the once we got there, the performance was distinctly substandard. But as one of the fans said there to Gabriel, qualification can sometimes be almost as good as taking part. I cannot imagine how good it would be for the fans to get a draw in Spain, or even the win, and to qualify for the European Championship finals with six games undefeated and having qualified at Spain's expense and ahead of Spain, who will no doubt join us there. It would be a sensational achievement.
Thank you to Gabriel. I mean, you're revisiting. You were there with Rangers, weren't you, Gabriel, in the Europa League final?
Yes, it was. I was actually here, Gordon, at the Cartuja, the fan stadium.
You were indeed.
So
you didn't,
my second trip in 18 months.
Leave anything behind that you've gone back to pick up or anything like that, no?
No, not quite. I've got to say, it's still roasting here. 34 degrees in the middle of October, and if anyone can remember 2 weeks ago when I was in Feyenoord, it is a massive upgrade from the pod then. Don't worry.
Oh, that's right. You would have not in your day, Hugh.
No.
You should have seen the accommodation we put him up in Rotterdam.
In Rotterdam.
Oh, my word. It was like a, I don't know, like a capsule.
Oh,
like
one a of those things.
That happened
in a capsule.
No, in like a hostel.
That happened
and
to
you just go in like one of those.
So he was obviously doing work like for the show. He had to just like sit on his bed. And what would you said the shelves? What was it? The shelves in the room were also the stairs to the bed. What was it again?
Yeah, shelves in the room were the stairs to the bed. And keep in mind, it's like a half pod, so there would be someone directly beneath me.
That happened to me.
Semi pod
in Japan.
Not good.
World Cup final Japan, and it was England. And I went a 4-hour train journey on the bullet train from Tokyo. I can't remember where it was. Nagasaki. Can't remember.
And we got there. Put on a shelf.
Got there, looked at it and thought, aha, and took the bullet train back after the game because I had a ticket that allowed me to go on any train. And I went 4 hours back
slipped
to Tokyo rather
a time
than sleep.
Capsule.
And Shinjuku Shug was born.
Correct.
There we go. Thank you to Gabriel. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Hopefully Gabriel is bringing us reports and reaction of a famous night, because it might be a famous night in here as well. Matthew tweeted to say, are Tweedledum and Tweedledummer on until midnight again if we qualify tomorrow like in Belgrade? I couldn't possibly imagine who you're referring to, but Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and myself do have a late night show planned for tomorrow. And so much so that actually on my way in, Hugh Keevans, I went to the local petrol station on Dumbarton Road, the BP garage, and the gentleman behind the till very kindly donated, I mean, how Scottish can you get, a box of Tunnock's tea cakes for us to enjoy the game tomorrow. I would open them, but you don't like chocolate. They're wasted on you.
No.
Simon's an athlete.
I'm
are you tempted
big,
now? Next
I'm not
break?
A big fan of.
Oh, come on. Seriously?
I prefer the wafers.
Yeah, they're good as well, but there we are. So I don't know if this will be enough to get us through the 6 hour show. Better not be 6 hours actually, but the late night show, but we will be on.
Do you want me to call in for old time's sake?
Yeah, I mean, a few less glasses of wine this time. That night from Belgrade was one of the all timers, so hopefully it's something similar. What about John in Helensburgh? How are you, John?
I'm good, evening panel.
Hi.
What's on your mind, John?
Just want to talk a wee bit about Scotland and maybe take it away from the current Nationals set-up as it is. Obviously, credit goes to Stevie Clark and the boys, 110%. But if we look back, maybe a wee bit of credit nobody's mentioned to the SFA. They clearly identified, maybe you might correct me with my dates, maybe about 15, 16 years ago, we identified that we weren't producing young talents like other teams across the globe were. And we went away back, we scrapped the current format we had in place from grassroots levels into Development League, into junior, the step up, we scrapped it and we put a new platform in place that allowed the kids a chance to learn how to play football. It's like when I was a kid, I played on 11-a-side parks at the age of 9 years old. Now the setup is they play 4-a-side at a very young age, step into 5-a-side with goalkeepers, step into 7-a-side, which is all a fun environment for them to learn. Then it's when they get in 9-a-side they start introducing all the laws to the game. And I just think that a lot of credit needs to go to the SFA for clearly identifying that. And you look at the current Scotland squad today, the amount of young talents that are in there. You've got your Hickeys, Portis, he's even young as well, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Patterson, there's a lot of young blood there that have obviously they've come through and benefited from from the new format put in place.
So I think the thing, Hugh, and Simon, you'll definitely know a lot about this, having been involved, is to have success, it needs to be a joint effort. Everyone needs to try and pull in the right direction. So from a Scottish FA perspective, and by the way, none of this is perfect because you always want to produce more, so it's not to say it's above criticism, of course not. Performance schools come in, they have helped bring in Billy Gilmore and Nathan Patterson. They'd be the obvious examples in today's squad. Should we have had more? I think that's a valid question. Can we get more? Fine. But then the clubs need to take some credit as well. John's right, if you're going to go through that squad and look at guys that have come through recently, like Andy Robertson's like a fairy tale version. You were there, you saw part of the journey at Dundee United.
Yep.
But you know, but Fraran Hickey, you know, coping with setbacks and ending up at Hearts, and like we said, Billy Gilmore starting at Rangers, and Ryan Portis that was mentioned, and Kieran Tierney did it through the sort of Celtic way, Lewis Ferguson at Hamilton Accies. So the clubs take responsibility as well, and then the added bit, who else is eligible?
Uh-huh.
Can we get Scott McTominay? Can we get Angus Gunn? Can we get Shea Adams, Hugh? So yeah, I don't disagree that the Scottish FA are due some praise.
Well,
but it's nice to have a combined effort, isn't it?
A phrase I thought I'd never hear in this programme, actually. Let's hear some praise for the SFA.
That won't last
so
long.
John has broken the mould with that one. You know, they are constantly criticised, and sometimes with justification. But people think there is absolutely no attention paid to that side of the game. And John has just described in accurate detail the way it works. So we are paying attention, and all at the SFA who implement these things do deserve credit.
You always need more, Simon. That's the thing about youth development. I don't think we can sort of sit still on that.
Well, you're naming the two, did you say Gilmore and
Patterson would be the performance schools. And there's loads kind of just below that, Alex Lowry in the 21s, you know, like Max Johnson get a good move in the summer. There are a few for sure, but in terms of A squad, they would be the two main ones.
Yeah, so you could maybe say that we would have liked to have seen a few more, but I think you're absolutely right. I think the clubs have to take credit as well for, you know, putting these guys in a position, a platform to go and play and develop. And I think, you know, Stevie Clark is a period of Scotland, you know, over the last little the campaign in the Euros, the World, we've got some good players coming through, and we touched on it, I mentioned it earlier on the show. I think the benefit of this team, players playing far and wide,
has really raised the bar as well. You know, Kieran Tierney was down at Arsenal, Robertson was at Liverpool, there's boys there, Gilmer, I know it didn't work out for him at Chelsea, but he's playing at Brighton, there's lads playing in Serie A as we touched on earlier on.
You know, Hickey's come back,
he's down in the Premiership. I think it's a really good blend in the squad, and I think, you know, we are seeing, and I agree with you, you know, the last Euros, what I take from the last Euros is, I think a lot of these guys themselves will admit that they underperformed at that. But what they've taken from the last Euros is an experience, and I think they'll want to put that right at the finals next year.
I think also once you, the idea obviously is to get there a lot, isn't it? And then you've got more to draw on, because the last Euros was poor, disappointing, whatever. But at the same time, it was probably what we're talking, one good performance, two disappointing performances.
Yeah.
So it's not like loads to go on. Do you know what I mean? But unfortunately, that's the cutthroat nature of tournament football.
And you've got to remember, before that,
football,
it was the 98 World Cups, and none of these guys had experience.
Yeah.
I know we were playing two of the games at Hampden, and I think that's where
the extra disappointment.
We think, oh well, we should be rolling the Czech Republic and Croatia over. Croatia have been at the final of the World Cup and the semi-final.
I think we'll take the lift, Simon, from it being in Germany, in magnificent stadia. It will lift us out of ourselves entirely. It will be like France 98. Yeah.
Thank you very much to John. How are you two faring on this teaser? 9 former Rangers players who've played in 3 out of the 5 so-called big leagues. So Mark Haitley played Italy, England, France. Brian Loudrup, Germany, Italy, England. Aaron Ramsey, England, Italy, France.
Now you've suggested that the last 6 are off the scale.
De Boer. De Boer.
No, funnily enough, no.
No.
Alexei Mikhailichenko.
No.
Two guy.
Nope.
Lionel Charbonnier.
No. What if one of them was currently a very high profile football manager?
Gattuso.
No. I see you're thinking.
Mikel Arteta.
Yes. France, Spain, and England. We will get the rest of the answers, we hope, next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
In the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, it's been a bad start to the Champions League game at Peter's Hill. Glasgow City trailing SK Brann by a goal to nil in the first leg of that final qualifier to get into the group stages. So hopefully there can be a bit of a comeback on for Leanne Ross's side in that one, and then go and finish the job off in Norway next week. Right, your teaser tonight is, and it's a good one, and worth bearing in mind the whole point of this, if you're new to this format and you think, what is this teaser they speak of? It's when you send the question in to us and the pundits try and come up with the answers. So you can always go around bragging that you caught them out with your question. The Crazy Pony wanted them tonight to name 9 former Rangers players who've played in 3 of the so-called 5 big leagues. So you've got Mikel Arteta, Mark Haitley, Brian Loudrup, Aaron Ramsey,
Ray Wilkins,
Chelsea, Man United, QPR, Palace, Milan, PSG. Not a bad list.
Philippe Sendros.
Yes, Hugh Evans. We forget almost, played AC Milan and Valencia, as well as obviously a few clubs in England. Well done. Okay.
So we're sitting on what, 6?
Three to get, is it? 1, 2, 3. Yes, I love this because the Crazy Pony does an intense amount of research. He's actually said that there is a 10th answer. But I thought Albert Gudmundsson would be harsh even on Roger Hanna.
Never heard of him. Albert Gudmundsson.
I think we just move on. Do you know what my favourite headline of the day, I think, was? Because this did hook me in. Did you see it? Trent Alexander-Arnold names 27-year-old free agent as the toughest opponent who never made it. Now, you think Trent must have come up against quite a fair few. Yeah. Do you know who he was talking about?
No.
You see this? No? Am I going to spoil it for you?
No, I've not seen it.
Brandon Barker.
Oh.
Remember him?
Yeah.
So Trent was asked, who's the toughest guy you ever played against that maybe didn't quite make it? Straight away, Brandon Barker.
Hibs and
Rangers.
Rangers,
eh? Ended up with Neil Lennon in Cyprus.
Yeah.
Apparently was genuinely unbelievable as a youngster at Man City.
Got a magnificent hair weave as well.
And I think Andy Halliday said he was great in training and stuff at Rangers as well. And there you go. Just anyone spring to mind in your career, Simon? Anyone you thought would destined for the top and it never quite panned out?
Gordon Dale.
By the way, you could say that. He got distracted, I think, would be the right one. Yeah.
Three times.
It's a good question. An old teammate, Stuart Kerr. I always thought he was, when he broke in, he came through the under-18s with myself, he into the team at one point, and I always, from training-wise, I always thought he was potentially a Scotland number one. I think he might have struggled with the kind of back pass stuff, but I thought at that point, you know, the trajectory, easy for me to say, was, you know, getting to the Scotland set-up, but never quite worked out for him.
There we are, Brandon Barker. There we go, a blast from the not-so-distant past. Still time, I would say, to squeeze a call in. Might need to be quite quick with it on 01419511025. You can still tweet as well at Clyde SSB. I mean, I think it'll be ambitious to squeeze another call in. Yeah, I do. I think it will. I'll tell you what we'll do. It is international break, of course. We've been talking about the A squad. Let's hear a bit from one of the under-21s, and that is Alex Lowry, because he is, of course, on loan at Hearts from Rangers, but he's been speaking in the Scotland camp, and here is what he had to say today.
Got a lot of confidence right now, so I'm playing good football. And of course it was a big decision in the summer because I'd been at Rangers my full life, so I didn't really know anything else. And then to come to Hearts, it's been a big step, but it's been a step I've loved. The boys have been brilliant with me, the staff have been brilliant with me, so I've got nothing to complain about. I'd thought about it a lot this summer, and maybe the back end of last season I'd thought about it, but it was more when it kind of happened. There was only maybe a 2-day spell where I'd basically spoke to Nasey, and the deal was kind of done in a day, so there wasn't much to think about, and then just wanted to get going and start playing football regularly. The main thing for me was probably stay relevant. I was wanting to play myself, playing a good league in Hearts. When they came in, it was a no-brainer. They're in the same league. They've got a lot of pressure on them to win every game. That kind of side that's kind of out of my hands, so I'm not really focused on it, but as long as I keep playing well and I'm helping the team, that's all I can kind of do just now.
Well, for a start, sometimes, and no offence to them, some of the under-21s really don't like the prospect of being interviewed. So he certainly sounds like he's expressing himself.
Referring to his manager as Nasey.
He's got a shirt and tie on, for goodness sake.
Yeah, none of that gaffer stuff for him. You know, obviously at the start of the season, Rangers having lost as many league games as they have done, people go back to Alex Lowry and say, well, it's another Michael Beale mistake. Why was he allowed to go out on loan and look what's left behind? He's having a great time at Hearts. He was outstanding in the game against Hibs. Nasey came in for a bit of criticism for taking him off, but Nasey maintains that he was tired. But he clearly has a talent, and he'll go back to Rangers all the better for having been at Tynecastle.
I think we probably would have had a should Alex Lowry be recalled debate anyway. Mm-hmm. But given that there's a new manager, I wonder what that, well, will be a new manager, what that'll do to that question.
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, credit to the kid who wants to go and play football. He's went over to Hearts to play football, wasn't getting a look in at Rangers. He had an injury problem last year. I like the look of him. I think any time I've seen him recently, created a goal up at Dingwall. He scored late on at Rugby Park. He's fighting himself into this team. He looks as if he's a player that wants to go and make things happen. And as Hugh touched on there, the question, and I think there'll be a lot of Rangers fans out there thinking, why has he been allowed to go to Hearts when, you know, they've been looking at these players, particularly the guys in your team that you want for attacking things that happen midfield to front, not doing it at Rangers just now. I think this guy would have been playing.
It would simply be put down as a Michael Beale misjudgment to let him go. But he will assuredly be back.
Right, time will tell. Let's see what is the remaining answers on this teaser. Three more former Rangers players have played in three of the five big leagues. So you've got Arteta, you've got Haitley, Loudrup, Ramsey, Senderos and Wilkins. It's really tough, the remaining three. You remember, I think he was a lone player, came from Man City. He played for Bolton, Espanyol and a team in Italy as well. He was Oh my goodness, I'm going to get this the wrong way around. Slovenian or Slovakian? Why, I can't remember that. It's one of them. Vladimir Weiss.
Oh yeah.
Okay, this guy played for Valencia, Sunderland. He was Swedish.
Björklund,
well done. And the last one played for, where was the list? That's a tough one. Fulham, Deportivo, and a few French teams.
What nationality?
French. I'll just put you out of your misery.
Position.
JB.
John Brown.
Jerome Bonicel.
Tough one.
Thank you to Simon Donnelly, Hugh Keevans. Hopefully it is a famous night for Scotland tomorrow. We have extended the show with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL, so make sure you join us. And Callum Gallagher is up next.